Okay, my bank balance is X. What would have to happen for that to be 2X or 3X or 4X? Okay, and then you start reverse engineering from there. That's where the CPCL comes in. It's like, am I spending the money in the right places for my advertising dollars? Okay, are we measuring successes in the right way?
Welcome to the B2B Digital Marketer Podcast, a podcast helping you to end your struggle with digital marketing, helping you to pave a new and better path to target and capture your ideal customer. Each week, we teach you how insiders and experts debunk the dreary and become engines of innovation. Now, here's your host, Jim Rembach.
Okay, B2B DM gang, hey, get ready for a good discussion where we're going to dig into probably a metric that you never even looked at before, but by gosh, you should be. And Joe Coey is going to tell you why. Joe, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Before we get into the deep into the discussion points and why this metric is so critical and vital, if you can, share with the B2B DM gang a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so my background is I have a formal education in engineering. Then I got an MBA in order to get into sales. I did enterprise software sales for 10 years, starting at Oracle, cutting my teeth there. In the interim there, I did a couple years of wholesale mortgage work, mortgage sales, selling to the mortgage brokers on the bank side. And then I finished my career back in sales as a head of sales for a software company before I started SalesX, which was to be a sales consulting company. But we ended up being a digital advertising agency because that's where the demand took us. Everybody needed websites, they needed SEO, they needed pay-per-click. And then we saw that the pay-per-click was the scalable portion of the business. And since then, we've been 5 times winners of the US Search Awards for 3 times for best agency, best use of data, that kind of stuff. We're a premier Google partner, blah, blah, blah. So we ended up being hardcore kind of digital advertising geeks, but with sales and engineering background. So it's a little bit of a rare combination.
And we even talked about that a little bit when you shared a great story before we started recording about a time where you were having some challenges and difficulties with some clients as an engineer or customers as an engineer. And they started sharing with you information that the sales team was actually sharing. You're like, I don't even know why they told you that. That functionality is not even in the system. And you went to go find sales and marketing. And where were they?
They had gone to Hawaii because they had all hit President's Club numbers. And they'd all gone to Hawaii. The whole building was empty. And I'm like, I need to be in Hawaii instead of trying to solve the problems that these guys fix. Like back in those days, the motto was don't fix it, feature it. So whenever something was broken, we're like, oh, that's actually a feature. But that's kind of a little bit of a Silicon Valley inside joke.
That's too funny. But you actually went back. Okay, so you went to school, you got your engineering degree, and then you saw that going to Hawaii seemed very appealing, and decided to go back, and you got your MBA and then got into sales. So yeah, there's a whole lot of background there that I think is critically important, because when we talk about this one metric, you'll start seeing how these two things come together. Is that correct?
That is correct. Absolutely correct.
Okay. So thanks for sharing that backstory. That was very, very important. So you talk about this one metric, and it's like, okay, yes, there's other metrics. Yes, you will track other metrics, but this one is, you have found over the course of time and working with clients, is that this metric, if you're not measuring it, what does it mean?
So in our industry, in the digital advertising industry, there are 1,001 metrics that you chase after. There's an encyclopedia of acronyms, and each one of them has a metric associated with it. And they all can sound really sexy, attractive, cool and everything else, if you're geeky enough. But the only metric that I care about is one that's directly tied to the balance in the bank account. If it's affecting that balance in the bank account, if that balance is going up, then that's the metric that I care about. And if it's going down, then that's the metric I care about. If it's not touching that bank balance, I have 12 guys on my team that they care about those things. But as the head of the organization, the way I drive the accounts is to go after that one metric. And that metric is cost per closed lead, CPCL. And the reason why hardly any other agencies are chasing that down is that it's actually really difficult to chase it down. It's really difficult. It requires kind of new business processes in order to be able to get that. So it requires business process development inside of a company. And that's where the engineering geeky stuff comes in for a company to be able to do that. So for example, you get a lead. That lead goes from marketing to sales. Sales calls the lead, puts it presumably in a CRM and starts chasing it down. And then some time goes by, whatever the funnel maturation time is. And then eventually there's an answer. It's dead or it closed. And if it closed, then it closed for this much. And then there's time like, oh, it closed in a week or it closed in 6 weeks or it closed in 3 months. So those also have value, like time to closure. How much was the contract for? How easy was it to close? Is it a recurring revenue thing? All of those aspects. The trouble is that information then doesn't get back into Google Ads in this case, because the metric that people are measuring is, let's say, CPA, cost per acquisition or cost per lead. They're like, oh yeah, let's bring in the cost per lead. Let's say $200 cost per lead or cost per acquisition of either a phone call or a form fill, or a download of some sort, whatever it might be that is being measured. And they're saying, oh, we increased your leads by 10% and we decreased your cost per lead by 5% and we decreased your cost per click by this much and we increased your click-through rate by that much and we improved your impression share by this much. And it's like, great, you did all of that, but did it add to my bank balance? Yes or no? Okay. And when you go and look deep in that regard with accounts that are doing that measurement, it will change the direction of your business, which is very scary, actually. Okay. If it changes the direction of the business, there are internal politics and fiefdoms that can be affected. And then people are going to be fighting tooth and nail. So it's the truth can be ugly at some point, but it can also take you from a $30 million company to a $500 million company if you're willing to be open-minded about it. So I have some examples that I could give you where the cost per closed lead, for example, this company was bringing in leads for six different departments. And the cost per closed lead, we figured out was something like $8,000. They were doing contracts that were like $30,000 a year and they were recurring, right? So the cost per closed lead for one of their departments was like $8,000. And for the other five, it was anywhere from 15 to like $22,000. And then once you have that, and you're like, oh shoot, this one department is actually amazing opportunity compared to these other ones. Now, if you have leads going to salespeople, for one thing, it's going to be those salespeople are going to get better and better and better at that one thing instead of leads going to salespeople for five different things. Okay, that's kind of where the sales and market sales background comes in, where you can have a better pitch, have more smooth objection handling, have documentation that quashes the objections, addresses everything, case studies that are related. You can have, if you have one thing that you're focusing on, it's going to be better. Having that in mind, now we're looking at another metric, which is impression share. Impression share is the number of times an ad is shown versus ad is clicked versus the number of times people are searching for an ad where an ad could be shown. So let's say if I'm searching for XYZ, 100 times, an ad could be shown 100 times. But if my ad for this company is being shown 10 times out of the 100, that means my ad could have been shown 90 more times, but it wasn't. That means my impression share is 10%. And normally the diminishing rate of return percentage hits at about 80%, 75, 80%. So you could go from 10% all the way up to 80% and still have those impressions be cost effective, or those clicks be cost effective. And these guys, their CPCL at $8,000 versus $15,000-$18,000, their CPCL for that division, their impression share was only 15%. So I was like, why don't we run the budget to this campaign, run it up to 80%, and then run the budget to the next campaign with the next lowest CPCL and so on. Basically, feed where the opportunities are for the highest probability of success.
So but as you're talking about this CPCL, cost per closed lead, I start thinking about what a lot of organizations struggle with, and that's just the overall attribution. So it could be, you know, that from an attribution perspective, you know, the contact and the awareness piece started someplace else, and then they ended up someplace else, and that's where a lot of, you know, people have the struggles with is the whole attribution, you know, element to this. You're talking about an example of paid ads, but attribution comes in a lot of different places. You know, if you're talking about the demand side, like you said, form fill, because it came in from some other way, organic, you know, maybe it's events, you know, maybe it's, you know, your peer roundtable program. I mean, there's all kinds of things that could actually cause that. But I think if you could, I want to talk about that attribution component. Mm-hmm. In this metric. And then I want to ask you something else in regards to, you know, unifying all of the stakeholders in order to be able to get this metric. First, yeah. Let's talk about the whole attribution piece.
So I just want to bring to the attention of your audience that this wasn't a premeditated decision for us, for Jim to ask that question, because that question, he absolutely nailed it. I mean, you said like the center of the dartboard. Well, we didn't talk about that ahead of the call. So that means you're very much in tune with what's happening, at least from what I can see. Let's see. So yes, exactly right. The attribution is where the money is. So, and that's where the difficulty is. And that's where sales and marketing and even consulting, accounting, all of those players have to be in touch with each other. So There's a concept in Google. Every time you buy a click, every time you pay for a click, which is what's happening when you do Google advertising, you're buying clicks. There's a unique identifier that's attached to that click via a string of code. So that code is, or a number, like a random number and letter combination, and that's called a CPCL. Click ID, GCLID. So it's a Google Click ID, and that stands for GCLID. And when you work with your agency, that agency needs to say, all right, we'll pass that parameter along with the rest of the information on the lead onto your CRM. So when your salespeople look at it, maybe they're not seeing that because it's just buried somewhere deep in the folds of the CRM. But that unique identifier is following the progress of that lead along. And then when that lead comes to fruition, whether it's a good fruition or a bad fruition, that unique identifier gets pushed back into Google Ads, and we can see all of those things that you just talked about, plus 15 more, like who was it, how old was that person, what was their gender, what was the time of the day of the week, what was the region they came from, all of that stuff we can tell. But more important than all of that stuff is what's called a converting search term, which is not the keyword that's in your account that's saying trigger my ads, but the thing that somebody typed into the Google search box. That word, when I say word, it could be a sequence of words, it could be 3-4 words. That keyword, converting search term, that search term is kind of the Shangri-La. It's the cup of Christ. It's kind of the philosopher's stone. You want that information. What was he asking for that ended up in a $30,000 per year contract for 5 years or a $300,000 purchase? What was it that they typed in? And then once we have that, then we can say, all right, how many people are searching for that? Let's get all those clicks. If that click costs, let's say your average cost per clicks are $5, just for the sake of conversation. But that particular click is $300. Say, great, get all of them. It doesn't matter how much it costs, because that's the one that's going to convert. That's why I'd rather have 10 leads of which 5 will convert than have 100 leads of which 2 will convert. Because now you have 98 leads that didn't convert, and those salespeople, they wasted their time, you paid their salaries, they got dejected, they gave up on the job. Now you're hiring more people. There's a trickle effect that's going to go on and on and on and on and on with low quality leads. And low quality leads happen when you don't measure what was the winner, what were the attributions associated with the winner. So you might say, oh, you know what? All of these closures are from professionals with a higher education between 35 and 45, you know, that reach out on early part of the week, let's say Tuesdays and Wednesdays, you know? And so if you have unlimited deep pockets, then great, go after a whole market. But if not, then you can say, great, let's go after these guys first, these guys and women, because they're the most likely decision makers for this particular decision. And if they're searching for these keywords, then boom, that's definitely the way to do it. So then now you're taking the money and you're saying, let's feed this complete winning opportunity first.
Well, and I think it's important, you know, much like I was talking about the whole attribution piece, is that you have different sources where all of this is going on. So in order for you to calculate, you know, your cost per closed lead, the source is not just your paid ads. The source is, you know, like I was talking about, all these other components and places. And then you start running into the dynamics of your organization, you know, like, hey, you're, you know, sales saying you're not giving me marketing qualified leads or sales qualified leads. Marketing saying, hey, I'm giving you good enough leads. So that metric, I mean, to me is, you know, cross departmental. And then so how do you get people to agree upon that? When you have, you know, issues with visibility in certain, you know, areas. Okay, yes, I'm getting the string from that, but, you know, maybe I'm not able to incorporate it within my CRM. I'm starting to think about probabilities of organizations truly being able to leverage this cost per closed lead, and them having some minimum table stake requirements in order for them to be able to implement it. And I mean, so am I right or wrong on that?
No, you're right. Except that, in addition to that, I would say that you're going already 2 or 3 levels deep. Well, people are missing the first level. It's like I'm thinking about, you know, getting a jiu-jitsu black belt, but I haven't signed up for jiu-jitsu yet. It's like, dude, go get your white belt first. Okay, then put in 8 years to get your brown belt, and then start thinking about your black belt, because it takes 10 years to get a black belt. You're not even signed up for jiu-jitsu, and you're saying, oh, I want a black belt. It's like, forget it. It's not going to happen.
Okay, so that's good perspective. So it's like, okay, let's do a little bit of crawling first and trying to figure out how we can do this and, you know, work on the interdepartmental things.
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you an example. We have a client, they manufacture a certain thing, right? They actually manufacture in-house a certain, it's for home improvement, right? And they have in-house factory made in USA. They manufacture this part that people need in their houses. But in addition to that part, they manufacture, they actually install like five other things. So they have their own thing, and then they have these other five other things. What we looked at, like, they're looking at CPA, which is the cost per acquisition. And they're like, yeah, CPA is great on all of these departments. And it's like, okay, let's look at how much you spend for each department, and then what was your gross revenues or gross margins even for each department. And then when we throw that and we look at the spend and we look at the timeline from the CRM, we're like, oh, okay. Well, for the main thing that you manufacture, presumably you want to feed your people on the manufacturing line, get your company continue to run instead of buying outsourced material. For those people, your gross margin was double of the next one, the next highest thing that you did, but your spend was only 10% more. So basically, the next best thing, which brought in half the gross margin, half of the gross margin of the first thing, spend 90% as much as the first thing. So what are you doing? Like, would you rather have double the margin and have your guys just continually be busy? Or do you want to do early shift ends and bring in half the margin and spend the money? So it's like some of those decisions are so rudimentary that you don't really need to think about at all. But you need to think about, you need to pay attention to it. You need to be aware of it. And then once you're aware of it, the decision is actually very easy to make.
I think that's part of the point is, you know, they're operating with a certain viewpoint and lens through which is not allowing them to see things that are having what you call value. And you talk about, hey, what we're my business, it's all, you know, really built on, you know, being able to deliver business value. And I'm like, well, what do you mean by that? And then you started sharing with me how you have 12 business dials. And when you explain those 12 business dials, and I'm like, well, that's, many of those things are off topic of, you know, for us, but still it rings true is that value is across the entire enterprise, correct?
Yes, absolutely. You could take the insights. Look, if you're all of a sudden, for example, of one of those two examples that I've given, let's say if you're producing a product, now you can say, oh, wow, okay, I could actually double this thing. So I could do planning on materials discounts, right? My base material, I have to buy twice as much so I can negotiate discounts. I could reduce my inventory turnover of products that have been manufactured. I could reduce my time to market when I'm opening new markets, because I have this thing really nailed down. My salespeople are really focused on it. And all the campaign build outs, stuff like that is super focused. And we have all the material, all the creative, all the best tested language, because instead of spending $200,000 a month on this, for the past 6 months, we've been spending $400,000 a month. And we've been testing. What are the best, you know, ads that are going to have the highest conversions, what are the best graphics, this and that, what are the best, you know, everything. And now when we want to open the Philadelphia market, we could just go boom, Philadelphia, here we come. Instead of having to open a new market and then struggle to try and figure out when that market's going to produce. So reducing time to market. That's just an example of, or cross-selling or optimizing existing markets. Those are just some examples of business value dials can be affected if one is thinking deeply enough about this. And that's one of our clients that we started, and we won a couple of those awards based on the work that we've done on their account. When we started when they started with us, they were a $30 million company. Now they're a $500 million company. That's a huge, right? $470 million growth over like 5-6 years. That's a big, big deal. And there's a lot of automation. There's a lot of hard work that's gone into that. There's a lot of really smart people on their side as well. But that can happen when you start thinking about this and you have this massive amounts of data to analyze. And we're getting even more ways to analyze with all the AI stuff. We're getting even more ways to analyze data now where we can micro-analyze, we can slice and dice stuff based on zip codes, where previously we're slicing and dicing it based on, for example, DMAs, the direct marketing area.
And that's a little bit more on the consumer side, you know, the B2C side, when you start looking at that type of data for the most part.
Right, right.
No, but when I start, you know, looking at it from the B2B side, and I start thinking about value that is being brought forth or within from the organization, you know, I start thinking about this cost per closed lead. And just as you outline this different way of thinking, looking at value, you're not just giving value to your own role and to your particular department. It's now hitting all different aspects of the organization. And now I need to start talking differently. I need to start looking at the impacts of the business quite differently. It just doesn't happen because now I start measuring something. So I'm starting to think about the transition process. And you even kind of mentioned it a moment ago. I was jumping three steps down. You're like, look, people aren't even doing this. Okay, so give me an understanding of steps to move forward. How can I chunk it down in order to step on it and continue to move forward?
Yeah, I mean, just like in sales, when in sales you're like, all right, let's look at a closed business and then let's reverse engineer the process. You know, who's the decision maker? Do they have the budget? What's their PO process? You know, all that stuff, you're figuring it out. And as a sales manager, you're asking your salespeople, did you figure all that out? Should talk to him. What happens if he goes on vacation? Are we going to hit the quarter? Do you have an upside? When you're doing all of that stuff on the sales, this is a similar type thing, except that you're looking at the bottom line first. You're like, okay, my bank balance is X. What would have to happen for that to be 2X or 3X or 4X? Okay, and then you start reverse engineering from there. That's where the CPCL comes in. It's like, am I spending the money in the right places for my advertising dollars? Okay, are we measuring successes in the right way? Because I see tons of people, especially like, we don't get any kind of like VC funded business around here, like startups, where they're flush with cash. We have other agencies that are our competitors that they get that. But the metrics that they go after are these like exposure, how many people saw your stuff, brand building, you know, you have, somebody has to see your stuff 27 times before they remember it, this and that. All this, to me, it's all fluff. When it comes to the bottom line, that's just burning cash, right? And if you're a real business owner, then you can't just burn cash because it's not VC money that you're just burning. So that's why we're called SalesX, just because we want the measurable result, which is the actual kind of sales, the revenue. So yeah, so the first step is look at the CPCL and see if you can, if you even have that data. You have that data? Great. You're a rare beer. You're a rare beast, because I've been doing this since 2010, and I can count on one hand the number of people that have that data, because most people don't have it. Most people are looking at the wrong metrics because it's difficult to get. So that's your kind of your first step. Once you have that step, and it might take you 6 months to put that step, it might take you a year to put that in place. You know, it might take you 2 weeks. It doesn't matter how long it'll take you, but you need to do it. That's the first step. Now, once you have that step, then you can start thinking about, all right, what are these other business process development aspects that I need to achieve in order to get more money in the bottom line? Okay. I'll give you another example. We were looking at a company that's sending mail pieces right? They were sending brochures, they were going to trade shows, they were doing online stuff. And depending on where those leads were, they were getting different results. So the salespeople were like, oh, you know, I don't like the online leads. I can't get a hold of them. They're not interested, this and that. I'm like, okay, how long is it taking them? Or they were making appointments and people weren't confirming the appointments. They were not showing up to the appointments. And I was like, all right, let's do some troubleshooting. How long is it taking them to answer the online lead? And it's like, well, the leads come in, then they get randomized, and then they get to the salespeople, and then they usually get back to them within 24 to 48 hours. I'm like, dude, okay, that's not going to work for online stuff. Online stuff is not a referral lead. This is a fickle environment. Somebody's filling out a form or, you know, doing some sort of online submission. They're probably doing it at five different places, which means if you have a sandwich in your hand, put down the sandwich. Don't take the bite. Don't do that. Call that first. And then once you make the appointment, send them a text reminder. Have the system in place that says, hey, looking forward to seeing you in 3 days. Hey, looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Hey, looking forward to seeing you later today. You know, these types of business processes, they need to come and play based on the results that are being achieved. If nobody's measuring those results, like, former CEO of Intel, Andy Grove, he wrote that high output management book. And he said, if you're not measuring it, you cannot manage it. If you can't measure it, you can't manage it, right? So just get more leads. People are like, I need more leads. Like, you got 30,000 leads. You have 200 salespeople banging out phone calls. What's your close rate? What's your set rate? What, you know, all of these, like, let's look at those metrics. And the ones that have that data, then they can improve. But if they don't have any clue, then it's like, oh, I don't know. The person for that city is doing it. It's like, you have your homework cut out for you because you're basically burning the cash.
Yeah. So data visibility or access, you know, can be challenging, like you were talking about in that particular scenario. But let's talk about an organization, because I think you gave us a couple of stories about it. Let's talk about an organization's transition to actually start using cost per close lead, where they started without that metric. How long did that transformation take for them to be able to implement?
It could be really fast. So basically, once, depending on how, like, if you have a CRM expert in house that can quickly add, like an API connection back to us or back to your agency or back into Google Ads, but the Google Ads data can be transferred into your CRM and it can be tracked and then pushed back all via like automated reporting. That could be done in a couple of weeks, right? Well, it could be done in a month.
Okay. Now, again, I'm thinking about this. There's multiple different sources here. So it's not just the ads piece. It's, I have to look at other data points as well. If not, like when you start talking about, if I can't measure it, I can't manage it. I only start measuring one particular aspect that gets all the attention. And I really don't get to that true, you know, cost per closed lead because of visibility and data that I'm missing in other places. So we're not just talking about ads. We're talking about all the different sourcing opportunities. Is that correct?
Yeah, except that you're not going to have all that data, right? If you're depending on Google Analytics, for example, to give you keyword data for SEO leads, like for your organic leads, they stopped giving that years ago. You're not going to get that, okay? If you're looking for trade show stuff, then it's going to be highly dependent on whether the person at the trade show took a bunch of notes about that particular person or whether your salespeople are talking about that. We're not talking about everything because it just makes the problem so complex that you could just throw up your hands. What I'm talking about is when you pay Google, they entitle you to some data leverage it. That's all I'm saying. Like, you're going to have some data, leverage that data.
Well, I do think there's some, I mean, some organizations will have access to some of the data that we're talking about in regards to, you know, sources and things like that. And it does. I mean, if we're talking about organizational stakeholder impact, you know, we have to start looking at it from that perspective, because here's one of the issues, and you kind of alluded it to yourself. If you look at it in the micro case, I may find, for example, that my cost per lead, if I go to, you know, a trade show event, you know, when I'm loading all of that cost in, is these days, you know, $35,000-$40,000 per lead, right? And then I start looking at all of these other factors, and I'm like, whoa, I went to four events, we spent $160,000, and we got one. Do we really need to be doing that? Or do we, you know, do we need to change our strategy and look at doing things quite differently? What other value? Because here's what I say, and I'm not necessarily picking on live events, but this is how people think because they get stuck. Well, you know, I really don't care if we get any customers out of these two trade shows, and we're currently budgeted for $120,000 over these next two events. Because you know what? Some of our customers are there, and also some of our partners are there. I'm like, you want to pay $120,000 for a date?
I'm available. Customer side, they're going to appreciate that much more.
I'm available, right? I mean, you know, no, I mean, you don't need to have a 10 by 10, a 20 by 20, a 40-foot pill. You don't need to. I mean, so it's like, I think organizations have an opportunity to make better decisions here. Yeah. When you start looking at, really, you know, what is my cost per closed lead when I look at everything that we're doing and efforts that we're putting forth? And I think it would totally change their viewpoint.
Yeah, when I was getting into kind of field sales, because at Oracle I was doing telesales, and then after Oracle I left, I started doing field sales, and I read a book called "Let's Get Real" or "Let's Not Play" by a guy named Mohan Khalsa, which is actually is an American fellow, but went to India for a while and changed his name. But it was really cool because a lot of times people are delusional about what they're actually looking at. They want to kind of, their perception is misguided. Like in my last job before I started SalesX, we would go to these trade shows, we would have a fishbowl, and we would have like 20 iPads giveaway, and we would ask people to put their cards in for a drawing for the iPad. And then it would be like a big pile of cards. And then the CEO I was reporting to was like, "I'll just give you 500 leads. What do you mean?" It's like, dude, those are not leads. Okay, those are pulses. That just means that if you put a mirror under their nose, it's going to steam up. That's not a lead.
Yes. Yes. Oh, and by the way,
this person drawing for an iPad.
Well, that's right. And this person put in 10 cards.
it's just like, get real about, let's get real, you know? So instead of those 10, so for example, if you want to go to a trade show, there's a way to hit everybody in that trade show with your digital ads for the duration of the trade show and for a year after they left. It's called programmatic, where you could say, outline the building and say, here's, you know, the SAP center in San Jose for this weekend. Anybody that goes in and out, serve them our ads and also cookie them so that we could serve them our ads for the next 6 months. And that's not going to cost $100,000. That's going to probably cost you $5,000. So then you got the $95,000 and you could hit every trade show in the nation with the same strategy all year round, instead of just putting all your eggs in that one trade show. And then your guy gets drunk on the first night and you got nothing. So there are smarter ways to think about stuff if you're geeky enough, I suppose.
Well, that's where, like you said, I mean, we're all about business value. Okay, so let's look at this value scenario versus that value scenario. And there's a lot of, new ways of thinking in there. It's like, why were we always doing it that way? Because we just were. You got stuck. So it's time to get unstuck. And you know what? Joe Coey could help you do it. Joe, how does the B2B Digital Marketing Gang get in touch with you?
They can reach out to me through the website. My email is joe@salesx.com. But our website, I also have the 12 value dials, the business value of advertising technology, on a tab, salesx.com/BVAT. And I have the calculations there. So if you want to start counting your bonus and figure out how you're going to get a raise, you could use the math and those business value dials. But yeah, if you want to get a hold of me, you could reach out to me via email or through the website.
Joe Coey, thank you for sharing your knowledge and wisdom, and we wish you the very best.
Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate you.
Thank you for joining us. Go now to join the B2B DM gang in the B2B Marketer LinkedIn group, where you can connect with other B2B DM disruptors and get access to our B2B DM cheat sheets, checklist, and guides. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, please help by going to iTunes to rate, review, and subscribe. And share the show on all of your digital platforms. Be sure to tune in next week for our next episode. And always remember, you can automate your lead capture, but you must lure your lead.